Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What stood out the most about the Bills' season opening game down in New Orleans? How much did the offensive style of play resemble what Billy Donovan is looking for?
I don't think it resembled it too much. I think that they were looking to be a lot, just based on what I watched in the preseason versus what I saw yesterday, I think they were looking to be a lot faster, and I think that they were looking for getting shots up quicker. And I think that they would prefer to make a three as opposed to not making very many of them. And I really felt that at different points, like they didn't seem to be getting the ball to Vooch. In fact, I think Stacy was kind of yelling at different points. He's open. Like he was kind of. He seemed like he was going to come out.
He was yelling at Zach at one point.
Oh, yeah. Get the ball. Get the ball to him. But, yeah, I think it's a work in progress. It did not look good. There's no way around it. And all the things that we kind of feared. I was surprised by the number of turnovers. And you're not going to win many games being a high-volume shooting scoring team if you are turning the ball over at that pace. So they turned the ball over far too much, and they didn't shoot well. Other than that, it went perfectly as planned.
Yeah, perfect. I mean, what exactly does Patrick Williams do for a living? I mean,
he starts slow.
24 minutes, 2-for-7 shooting, 6 whole points, 3 whole rebounds, and you paid that guy? You can't shoot 34 threes and expect to win. That's not what he said. That's not even what they did in the preseason. It's almost like, Billy, are you upset that they shot as few of threes as they did? That's way under the average, what they did in the preseason. And way less than they shot the last preseason game. What, 53 attempts? They should add 30 in the half. I mean, Zach had one nice half. Max Levine.
Golf clap from Dustin. I thought after the first half we were going to be having a very different conversation this morning.
I'm sure you did.
And I was ready and preparing my... Zach LaVine got off to an ideal start after missing so much time, and then he was careless with the basketball in the second half, as everybody was. All of this talk about the pace of play and the Bulls are in great condition so they can go 10 deep, maybe 11, because of the way they're going to get up and down and chuck up the threes and all those things. It's not even about the pace of play. The pace of play doesn't matter. If you're going at a breakneck pace and you're throwing the ball away, protect the basketball. It's like the oldest adage in basketball, whether it's high school, college, or the NBA. You can't commit 21 turnovers and give up 30 points off those turnovers and expect to feel good about anything. So that was what stood out the most to me, is that as much as the Bulls want to pick up the pace, they're not able to do it because they can't hold on to the ball. Coby White was disappointing, didn't hit a three-pointer as he enters his breakthrough season. And I just feel like 34 threes, it felt like last year. This felt like the 83rd game from last season.
You know, I've been asked that question before.
Now that the Bulls have the opener against the Pelicans out of the way, what will their record be after their first 5 games? How much did last night's loss change your projections?
Well, I thought they were going to win last night, so I'm going to have to adjust my prediction and projections because I don't know. I'll say 1-4, I thought they could be 2-3. I don't know which one they win. Let's just say Memphis, because Bucks and the Thunder, that's a bad weekend. I mean, just start planning your weekend around the Bulls' losses now. I don't see how they win Friday night against the Bucks. Did you see what Dame Lillard did last night? Welcome back. How about Bobby Portis, crazy eyes? He's good again. And Giannis, goodness sakes, the Bucks are good. I mean,
the score has learned.
The Bucks are good. Hey, by the way, so is OKC. They're going to face two of the best teams in their respective conferences on back-to-back nights, and they won't have a full contingent because Lonzo Ball can't play in both those games. So I think it's the weekend feels over before it's begun. Sorry. And then maybe they squeeze one out in Memphis, and then they return home against the Magic, and I believe in Magic, so I think that the Bulls are in trouble. 1-4.
They won't win a game in October. Their first win,
it's like the Cubs,
will be November 1st at the Nets. That's their first win. And it's all because of what I saw last night. Can we readjust our season picks?
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean,
under.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, this is classic overreaction from one game. I can't believe you're doing this. I'm definitely going under 28.5 for the year, and I'm going 0-5.
I hear. Wow. You too?
No shadow of a doubt.
Oh, man.
Did you watch that game?
Oh, for October.
Man, oh, for October.
What a month in Chicago. What a month.
I just didn't see anything to build on. I didn't. I'm sorry. They got a single player, Zach LaVine, who can create his own shot. And, man, when he decides to do it, he's just going to do it. And he was turning the ball over, too. So I don't think so. First of all, they're not going to beat the Bucks. Secondly, OKC is—they're championship caliber now. They got rid of the Bulls' leader on offense. It's running their offense. They got better as a result of it. And don't they still have like 75 picks or something? They own like the first five.
Yeah, Sam Presti knows what he's
doing.
Oh,
God. My goodness. Help.
They're giddy in OKC.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
That's the voice of Brad Biggs. He's here at 7. 7 is Biggs time. Neither Washington, the quarterback there, Jaden Daniels, nor the Chicago safety, Shaquan Brisker, practice Wednesday, raising doubts about their availability Sunday. Which drop-off to their respective backup is bigger? Is it too early to suggest that neither will play on Sunday?
I think the drop-off at quarterback is bigger. Because it's the quarterback, just because it's every play. That doesn't mean I don't like Marcus Mariota. I thought he played very well last week, and we talked about the idea that we played the clip from Terry McLaughlin McLaren that they do not change what they're doing, and he can come in and he can RPO it, and he can be a similar type of player, and he played very well. It was against Carolina. So I'm not saying that matters, but I think that Jaquan Brisker is a safety, and I think that they have a guy that what will it be his 10th start this week in place of Jaquan Brisker or with the Bears as a safety. So I think they're in a good position to get through it. They also have good coaching in the secondary, and I think that you know, he's not running the entire team, so it'll be a little bit easier. Yeah, I unfortunately, as much as I like Mariota, I got to say the drop-off is bigger whenever you're talking about a second quarterback.
Well, I'm going to push back and disagree a little bit. Mariota has started 74 games in this league.
Yes.
That's a lot of games. So, I mean, he's also going to get every rep this week in practice. That's what starting quarterbacks get.
And he had none before last week.
Right. And he looked like a guy who just slid right into that offense.
He looked good.
Now, I get it. They played maybe an NCAA team. You know, they played a Division II team in the Panthers. So I get the tap the brakes on all of that. I just think this is more of a question about do I think the Bears can survive this game without Brisker? Yes, I do. But I think from a drop-off standpoint moving forward, I think the safety position is bigger for the Bears than it is for the Commanders, because Jane Daniels has started four games, right? And he hasn't gotten through five games yet. So
I think it's an interesting dilemma or comparison, because I almost feel like if you factor in Kyler Gordon as well, and you go Gordon and Brisker in their absence, will that be felt more than Jaden Daniels' absence? I think that could be the argument. I think that could be
that,
where
that is not the question.
I know. I'm adding that to it. If it's one for one, it's kind of a toss up. But I do think that the point of maybe looking at that or discussing it is that this is not anything to take lightly if you're the Bears, because the secondary for the second week in a row would be going in with relying on depth. And even more so than it did in London, because Gordon started that game, then he left it. And I have respect for Elijah Hicks. I have respect for I think that you look at their Jalen Jones led him in tackles. All the things you can look at as good signs for depth. I just don't know if you're going to have that kind of impact. Whereas Marcus Mariota, even against though it was the Panthers, he looked the part. And he looked like he's not going to try to do too much. So I would call this almost a standoff. But I will say this. Jaden Daniels, when healthy, was an MVP candidate through six games. And when you take him out of the mix, you feel better about your chances for the Bears. So I'm going to say the drop-off is greater when you change quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Which do you think the Bears would rather play? A banged up Jaden Daniels or a healthy Marcus Mariota?
I think that they could, as a defense, talk yourself into playing the rookie who's hurt, playing the rookie who hasn't necessarily played hurt in the NFL against a defense like this. And you could talk yourself into that, but you always want to see the backup. You always want to see the backup, because there's a reason why he is on his fifth team. There's a reason why he hasn't started more than 74 games after being the number two overall pick. There's a reason why Marcus Mariota is well-traveled and is a guy who is filling in at this stage of his career as still a relatively young man, because he is a backup, and you'd always rather see that guy. So you could make the argument that banged up Jaden Daniels would be a more welcome sight if you're the Bears defense, but you would be fooling yourself. You want to see Marcus Mariota, even if he is one of the better backups in the league.
Nah, you want to play a banged up Jaden Daniels who is not doing well and has not taken many reps at practice, has played four games and change in the NFL. That's who you want to play.
There was speculation that Jaden Daniels is as fast as Tyreek Hill. Have you heard that? Apparently, he was timed on a touchdown run earlier this year. He was clocked at 21.8 miles per hour. Okay? To put that in perspective,
wow.
In 2020, Lamar Jackson ran 20.64 miles per hour and 20.52 miles per hour on two touchdown runs. And that was the fastest we've seen in a long time. And apparently, Jaden Daniels faster than that guy. So I don't want to see him. No, that's too fast, frankly. And I think that, you know, that's, you're getting into like Justin Fields, a guy that can run like Justin Fields, sprint like top speed like Justin, only he can throw better.
He can throw it. And he's been accurate.
So
he's been wildly accurate.
Banged up means what exactly? Banged up means like, oh, he can't breathe, so he can't run? Okay, well, then you want to play him. Oh, his ribs hurt a little bit, but he's got a flak jacket on, and they shot him up, and he's fine. I think I'd prefer Marcus Mariota. That's no offense to anyone, because I think Marcus Mariota played great last week. But he's a backup now.
You also wonder about the emotional charge it would be if Jaden Daniels, after not practicing much this week, returns, and they would get a boost from that.
All of a sudden, he's running 21 miles an hour?
Or at least 21.5.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
First, I ask questions.
Fleck jacket.
What did you make of Caleb Williams' answer to the question whether he ever allows himself to get caught up in storylines?
No. My job is to go win games on Thursdays, Sundays, and Mondays. So that's it.
That's it, huh? You believe him?
Love hearing from that kid. I love everything he says. I love when he's on the sideline. No, I never get nervous. It was the same kind of reaction. He just keeps everything in perspective. This is not about him and some other quarterback and who got drafted. He's the quarterback of the Bears. His job is to win games for the Bears on Mondays, Sundays, Thursdays. I mean, that's a great answer. And, yeah, I believe him. I believe that is his job. And I believe that if you can somehow strip down what you do that way, that makes your life a hell of a lot easier. I think he's had great training over the course of his life, and he knows how to just strip things down to what the basic element is. And that's how he's thinking about it, and that's what he's doing. And even when he is fantasized about winning 8 Super Bowls or doing whatever those dreams are, in order to get there, you got to get it down to what the basic issue is right now. I got to win the game. I don't have to throw for 300 yards. I don't need 7 touchdowns. I have to win the game. And I love hearing from him.
I like hearing from him. I like that approach. I don't think he cares about the stats. That I don't. I think he cares about the W. But I do think he cares about going home. I do think he cares about this potential rivalry with him and Jaden Daniels. I do think Caleb wants Jaden on the field, and I think he wants to beat them, just like all Chicago Bears fans. But I think maybe the definition of storyline from one person to another is a little bit different, right? By definition, I disagree with him. He cares about going home. Talked about how many tickets he bought. Talked about how he hasn't been back there. Talked about how important that city was to his upbringing.
Yeah.
So that's a storyline, and he cares. He might not get caught up in the Cliff Kingsbury thing like I'd like to get caught up in it, but I think he cares about the going home, and I definitely think he cares about a potential rivalry if the Commanders. How about the stat, right? The first time since 1991 that these two teams have played and had winning records.
That's amazing, really. I think the spirit of the question is always toward do you care about this, or does it affect you, these storylines, to the point where it's a distraction? And I think what he was answering quickly was that, no.
Yes.
I'm not fazed by this. No.
Yes.
I'm never going to be fazed by something like this.
Yes.
Because I have one job. And the way that I determine and dictate and define my role is by winning. And I love that.
I
love that about the kid.
I agree.
So I push back a little bit. Some people have said, well, you know, Jordan used to find the slightest thing and then build an edge. And Tom Brady had a list of things. Well, you know what? This isn't that. I don't really think this is that at all. This is just a guy who is consistent with he is not going to let something faze him.
And I think he's right. Maybe he does care. Maybe it is important to him. But he knows that that will not help his performance.
It's not going to factor in.
You strip it down, you take it away, and you go to the basics. And that's what I love.
It matters to him because he's human.
Yes.
It matters to him because he's honest about the fact that, yeah, he went to high school here, and there are always going to be things that you have to deal with. But as far as getting caught up in the storylines, one versus two, and the homecoming of Caleb and all of the things and Cliff Kingsbury's presence. And no, I love that answer. His job is to win on Thursdays, Sundays, and Mondays. Yeah, I thought, well, what if they play a playoff game on a Saturday?
Oh, boy.
Putting that one in my back pocket.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
What do you think of the Packers coach, Matt LaFleur, the Flower, as we like to call him here, adding fired Jets head coach Robert Saleh as a offensive assistant, in LaFleur's words? How must Packers DC Jeff Hafley feel about this move?
I love this story. I love this story. If you're Jeff Hafley, you have to wonder, why is that Robert Saleh I saw down the hallway? Why is he watching tape? Why is he talking to my free safety? I don't know how you bring in a guy like Robert Saleh, defensive coach, former defensive coordinator, defensive expert, and try to pass him off as an offensive consultant. I understand it helps to have maybe an outside perspective, evaluate what things are about your offensive self-scouting aspect of it. I get it. It's a football guy. But I do think that your Packer defense, everything's going right. Your defense is one of the biggest reasons you are where you are. Hafley's done a terrific job in transforming that group. They've got 10 first-round draft picks, I think, on the roster. Goodness sakes, I don't blame Saleh for wanting to be a part of it. But it's got to create a little bit of a stir, doesn't it? And I also like the backstory with LaFleur and Robert Saleh. I know you'll love this, Dustin, because they both worked together in 2004 on Brian Kelly's staff in Central Michigan. And they were the guys invited to Brian Kelly's holiday party to shovel the driveway.
Yeah, valet, right? Yes. Shovel the driveway. Yeah, I do love that story. Remember that story. Listen, if your best man was out of work and you had the ability to add him to your place of business, wouldn't you do that?
You make it sound like he's unemployed and destitute and like going to be living paycheck to paycheck.
No, you said that. I didn't. He's unemployed. There's a difference. Out of sight, out of mind. Robert Saleh doesn't have like a big personality. He doesn't. So he's not a guy like, he's not a guy that CBS or Fox or the NFL Network or, you know, Chicago Sports Network is going to pull into the studio and have him break down games on Sundays, Thursdays, and Mondays like Caleb Williams goes out and wins games for. So he needs to be involved. He's got to have his foot in a door. Let him in. And maybe this defensive coordinator will work even harder. So what? But you got to keep Saleh around. Now, if in 2 weeks or if the first game the Bears and Packers play, if Robert Saleh is addressing the media as the defensive coordinator of the Packers, now that would be bad, right? Like if he fired or demoted his defensive coordinator to elevate. But again, he's out of work. If you guys are going to be okay with LeBron and Bronny's situation, there's nothing wrong with this situation.
Apples, oranges.
No. Mm-mm. Same.
Totally different.
No. Robert Saleh has actually done something in this league to deserve a job in this league.
I honestly believe that Robert Saleh is a really good coach. And I think that he can help. They call it a fluid role. In other words, he's coming in and working with the offense initially, which is the sort of thing that maybe you want to do if you feel like you're a defensive guy and you got fired. Didn't Mike Nolan coach wide receivers 1 year and that helped his credibility as a defensive guy, and he became a head coach with the Niners? It just might be something for Robert Saleh to do while he's done with this football season. And so they're best buds. Hafley and the Flower are also real tight. So I don't think he has anything to worry about. It's easy for me to say. Maybe you just need a buddy to come in so the two of you can go out and have a drink and badmouth a certain quarterback together.
maybe
could it be as simple as that?
They bonded over their struggles in coaching Aaron Rodgers.
You know, I could
see that.
I think Saleh's a really good, solid coach.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind having him around. You know, when the Bears got rid of the defensive coordinator, didn't they hire some guy that was breaking
Phil
down?
Phil Snow.
Phil Snow.
We never saw him. I don't think he exists, actually.
Again.
I don't think he exists.
But they got better, maybe because Felucci's so good, or maybe Snow
but
did
But Phil Snow wasn't
incredible.
In the building.
No,
he
no,
was working
no.
remotely.
No, but you. I'm just saying. They.
You
they,
know,
they,
though. You know I, that in I, this town.
I think it's tough for the defensive coordinator, but if he is as good a friend with the head coach as has been talked about, I don't think it'll be a problem. And I think that the flower will be, he's just thinking, this guy's a really good coach. I'd like to have him around me. He's my buddy. We talk all the time anyway. Wouldn't it be great to get my insight, his insight together in the room? I don't know. It doesn't bother me. I don't think it makes him necessarily better, but I don't think it makes him worse.
I don't think it makes him worse, but if the Packers defense gives up 27 points in a loss this Sunday, you know how it works in the NFL. You know how these things can mushroom into bigger stories than they need to be. Distractions. We always talk about them. You're looking at one potential distraction when you invite Robert Saleh into the mix.
Coaches get along with coaches. It'll be fine.
How would we handle it in Chicago? We would be losing our minds.
No, not necessarily. I mean, you know, here's in Chicago, we'd say, can Saleh take over for Flusie?
Don't you remember when Brad Childress came in as a friend of Matt Nagy, and because of his connection and how it made everybody a little bit uncomfortable, and he certainly did. But nonetheless, it's an interesting thing to
keep
an eye on.
It's interesting to keep an eye on. I'm with you. I don't think it's going to be a major problem, but, you know, it's weird. Seven kids. All right.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.